Welcome to Senpai's Craft Beer Cast. I'm Rich, your host, and today we're going to be doing our episode a little bit differently. I'm going to be reviewing a beer first, and then you guys are going to come with me on an internet journey to find out what makes beers develop all flavors and stuff like that. I don't have any talking points really set up. We're just going to kind of wing it. We're going to jump on the old Google search engine there and see what we can find out together. Let's learn some shit. But like I said, first things first, I'm actually going to do the beer review before we get into the main topic, because I would like to drink a beer while we do this. So we'll just go ahead and we'll go ahead and do that. Yeah. So what I have today, because I've been sitting on this beer for probably about a week now, I've been dying to try it, but I'm saving it for the episode, and it is Clown Shoes Josh the Guava King Double IPA with guava malt beverage brewed with natural flavor. And it's got some crazy looking dude, almost like in a galaxy situation on the front here, playing a guitar while riding a bicycle with training wheels. Got a monkey juggling guavas and shit on his back. It says Josh the Guava King on the top. Double IPA with guava. Brewers Association certified independent craft. Brewed and canned by Clown Shoes Beer, Boston, Massachusetts, and Windsor, Vermont. 1 pint, 8% alcohol by volume. Our mission, to produce beer without pretension while being free and a little crazy. Government warnings, UPC labels. Clown Shoes logo there. That's pretty much it. Let's see, package 32. It was packaged on January 28th, 2019. So this may be kind of weird. Might not be all that great because it is a little on the older side if it was canned in January. But let's crack her open and give her a pour. Come on now. Alright, she is not a hazy beer. Nice orangey gold color to her, about a finger wide white head, dissipates pretty quickly. You get little carbonation bubbles coming up there. No real haze to it at all. It's a nice and clear beer, maybe a slight haze. Nothing too crazy there. Let's kind of get a nose. Get a little bit of a yeastiness there. Slight hop bitterness, a little piney. You definitely get the tropical fruits, the guava. It's definitely there. Not a big nose on this one. It's not very heavy on aroma. Little bit of a malty backbone there. 8%, there's no real alcohol burn to it in the nose. But let's go ahead and get a mouthfeel and a flavor. A little bit thinner than I thought it would be. I would say probably on the heavier end of medium, but definitely not a heavy mouthfeel to her. A nice effervescence from the carbonation. It's not like super overly carbed. It kind of tickles the tongue a little bit. Flavor-wise, it's really, really smooth. You get a little bit of that guava, kind of like a mango thing going on. Maybe a little bit of a piney, earthy hop bitterness to it right in the back there. There's, for a double IPA, there's not a whole lot of bitterness to it. I don't want to use the word light, but it does have kind of like a lighter flavor. It's actually pretty good for 8%. It's real easy to drink. No alcohol burn to it at all. All in all, I mean, it has a nice biscuity malt quality to it, mixed with that guava, mixed with the earthiness from the hops. It's a very good beer. Another one, Clown Shoes, has done really well, I would say. I paid, I think it was about $5 for this individual can. That's just because the store that I got it from will allow you to take individual beers off of 4-packs and 6-packs as long as it's not actually in a box. But they charge a little bit more for it. I think it was $13 or $15 for the 4-pack. I don't see why you wouldn't pay that. It's like I said, it's a very good beer. It's not super heavy. It's not going to make you feel like crap after drinking it, or drinking a couple of them, I guess. But, yeah. So, Josh the Guava King, Double India Pale Ale. With guava. Pretty good. Definitely give it a shot. Alright, let me give you a little bit of backstory here on why I'm doing this episode this way. It kind of just popped into my head. I know I'm supposed to be doing the episodes about hops. I'll continue that on with next week. But this just kind of popped into my head. I was like, you know what? Fuck it. Let's just do an episode where I'm just going to research it while talking and drinking a beer. It'll be kind of fun. And if it works out pretty well, then maybe we'll do more episodes like this. But the backstory as to why this popped into my head. So I went to Publix and I got a 6-pack of Dragon's Milk White Stout. I've never had the style before. It's always intrigued me. It's supposed to be, tastes like a stout, but it's not dark. It almost looks like a blonde ale. Everything that I've read was, you know, really, really pretty good. It's supposed to have like a nice coffee flavor to it. It's supposed to basically taste like a stout. I got this beer, and to New Holland Brewery, I love Dragon's Milk. The regular bourbon barrel-aged Dragon's Milk is absolutely fantastic, worth every penny. The $15 for a 4-pack, it's a great beer. I've had the S'mores, which is almost like a sweeter version of that beer, and it's really, really good. Chocolate Orange is my favorite variant of Dragon's Milk. I haven't had the Banana Coconut yet, but I know there are a couple more. But everything that I've had up until this point has been better than average. So I was really, really excited to try the Dragon's Milk White Stout. I was like, everything else I've had from them is good. I've never had the style before. Let's give it a go. Maybe it's really, really awesome. So I crack one open and I smell it. Smells fine. Pour it into a glass. Looks fine. No, there wasn't any like yeast sediment or anything floating around in there. And I taste it. And I thought it was a little bit weird at first. I was like, huh, interesting. But I had a couple beers before that, so I was like, maybe something's going on here. So I get about halfway through the can, and I realize that it kind of tastes like cheese and sweat. Yeah, kind of make your stomach turn a little bit. It was fucking gross. I'm sorry. I couldn't finish one can. So I put it down. I was like, you know what? I actually forgot it at the lady's house that I was drinking it at, because we were at the pool, a friend's house. And she saved them, and it's been about, I want to say, maybe a month, month and a half later. I went back, and I found the five other cans that were there, so I was like, yeah, screw it. I grabbed them and brought them home, cracked another one open, same thing. This was the first beer that I was having that day, so I was like, okay, maybe something. Let's give it a go. Let's see. I was kind of nervous because it was not a good flavor. Sorry, I had to get a sip of the Josh the Guava King there. But it wasn't a good flavor, so I cracked another one open. Same thing. Absolutely horrible. Cheese and sweat. That's what it fucking tasted like. Like, if I were to eat, like, a wheel, does Gouda come in wheels? If Gouda comes in wheels, it's like drinking or eating a wheel of Gouda and then going for a fucking run. And then whatever your sweat tastes like, that's what it's going to be. So, let's see if maybe it was just some off flavors. Maybe the yeast got damaged somehow. So, I typed into Google here, what makes beer go bad? And we have something, a website called newair.com, and they have an article titled, Does Beer Go Bad? Everything You Need to Know About Proper Storage and Beer Expiration Dates. So whether you're planning a Corona-soaked backyard barbecue, or want to keep your favorite craft beer from local microbreweries fresh, understanding how to store beer is the first step to enjoying it. Anyway, let's see. Oh, there's nothing worse than being disappointed by a skunked beer. Blah, 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 blah. The short answer is yes, beer does go bad. I already kind of knew that, but I want to know why. But it can last a long time under proper storage conditions. Light exposure. Turns out that... Okay, so this is actually something that's kind of good with the popularity of cans now. Basically, zero light penetration. So you're not really going to get that skunkiness from your beer is being exposed to light. But yeah, so it looks like a skunky flavor comes from light exposure. How about oxygen exposure? They have one, looks like oxidation may cause some off flavors in beer. One of the most common results of oxidation is diacetyl, which adds a buttery flavor to the beer. It definitely was not buttery. Other compounds cause other flavors, which can include everything from cardboard to notes of must or aged sherry. Definitely not. Bacteria exposure. This actually might be it. Kind of what I was thinking. Eventually all things must decay. Living bacteria think your beer is tasty too, and they'll eat at it over time. It's relatively rare when it comes to commercially sold beer because brewers do everything possible to minimize contamination. It doesn't say anything about what kind of off flavors that would cause. So, let's see if I can find out what would make beer... what makes beer taste like cheese? And, yeah, let's put cheese. I think the sweat might just be me being fucking weird. I don't know. Let's see. Winninghomebrew.com. That is winning-homebrew.com. Fatty acids in beer. My beer smells like rancid cheese. This one tasted, but let's see. Cheesy flavor comes from isovaleric acid. Some describe this off flavor as being like stale cheese, hard cheese, sweaty, or putrid. Okay. We're getting somewhere. This off-flavor comes from the use of old or degraded hops. The two off-flavors are often confused. Remember that butyric acid has rancid cheese notes, and isovaleric acid has more of a stale cheese flavor and aroma. You would have to purchase an off-flavor sensory kit to learn the difference between the two. So, that was actually went a lot faster than I thought it would. But from this definition, it seems like the batch of Dragon's Milk White Stout that I may have gotten had isovaleric acid in it, or something along the lines of that. Very interesting. I didn't know. Let's look up a little bit more. Let's see if we can find more about isovaleric acid in beer. Isovaleric acid. Let's see. Craft beer. Okay, so beer and brewing. Isovaleric acid, also known as 3-methylbutanoic acid, is a natural fatty acid found in many plants, essential oils, old hops, foot sweat, and some cheese. It is characterized by a pungent aroma often described as cheesy, especially referring to aged hard cheeses or gym socks. In beer, the flavor threshold of isovaleric acid is in the wide range of 0.1 to 1.1 milligrams per liter, varying with the taster's sensitivity. Isovaleric acid is a product of the oxidation of hop resins and is quite often pronounced in hops that have been exposed to oxygen over a long period of time. Okay. I mean, it makes sense. It very well could be just... I got a bad batch, maybe with old hops or something. I can tell you one thing was terrible. Holy hell, man. Alright, well, we kind of learned a little bit, maybe a little bit, about what causes some of the off flavors in beer. To kind of recap, since I'm not doing it as an actual step-by-step, but an episode like I usually do, we'll do a little bit of a recap. Seems like light penetration causes that skunkiness in beers. Oxidation causes some off flavors. I don't remember what they are, and I closed the tab because I'm an idiot. And bacterial infections can make it taste like cheese and gym socks and sweat. and make it unbearable to drink. But yeah, go ahead. We're going to end this episode here. Follow me. Go like my Facebook page, Senpai's Craft Beer Cast. You can follow me on Instagram, Senpai's_CraftBeerCast. And check out my new website. I will be putting up a couple of beer reviews in the Beer Journals tab here in the next couple of days. If you wanted to read a couple of the reviews, maybe get a glimpse at the cans, see what you might want to be looking for, if any of them interest you. Sometimes it is easier to see the can instead of having me fucking explain it for you. But yeah, senpaiscraftbeercast.com. I'm getting ready to put, by the time this episode comes out, I'll have the fundraiser for Kyoto Animation Studios. As you might remember in the last episode, I kind of talked about what went on with them, the little bit of the tragedy that kind of befell that anime studio. And I'll be posting the fundraiser hosted by, I think it's Sentai Filmworks, on my website, so you guys can go, and if you would like to donate, please do. It'll definitely help everybody out. But yeah, so we learned something new today. Found out that Clown Shoes is still making really, really good beers, and I will catch you on the next episode. Cheers.